بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A warm welcome to this week's edition of the program. We draw closer towards the end of another year, and lots of talk about the holiday period and lots of concern for our families, our communities, all ages. You know, how are we spending the holiday? What choices are we making? And not just for our youth, but again, for all age groups, because there is that fitna out there. There are those challenges out there. And today's topic is all about focusing on that. We're talking about breaking the sin cycle. And joining us on the program is author, radio host, educator, and NLP transformative life coach, Sister Shahista Ismail Token, no stranger to you all, and someone who really this knack of conveying a message to us with the wisdom to understand and to internalize. So when I sat with our producer, Sister Mumtaz, we thought this is the topic we need to be looking at as we draw closer to the end of the year. And what better person to take us through with this beautiful blend of the deen and understanding where our personal development comes in. Sister Shahista, assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah so much for that beautiful introduction. Inshallah, I'm able to do justice to this very loaded topic.
Ameen. So let us get into it, inshallah. We talk about sin, and then the topic of despondency comes up very often. So for someone who feels despondent, that they keep returning to that same sin, what measures could they take to prevent this?
So at the onset, when I realized that this topic is really such a sensitive but such a delicate one, that we have to treat it very kindly when we think about the sin. And Islam teaches us a lot of kindness. In the sense, it says that sin is an act and not a state of being. That in itself shows Allah's mercy and forgiveness and benevolence. So we need to see it as an action. And when we see it as an action, we know that actions and behaviors and reactions to things are often things that we can change. It's things that we can control. Because of this type of action then, and not the essence of who we are, it can become a habit. So sinning then is something that we really do have control over in terms of changing it. And you've heard the old proverb, you know, old habits die hard. It's because we become it becomes ingrained in our, you know, day-to-day that we think that it's part of a natural action, whereas it is a sinful action. So making this habit of sinning brings the person further away from Allah, and then realizing that, you know what, this is us, this is causing us to lose our faith. So the very first onset of this despondency that makes us sad is our recognition of our sinful behavior. And that's a great way to start, because if you're recognizing something and if you're acknowledging that it is harmful and not helpful, in your deen, in your life, in the way you are carrying out, your journey through being a Muslim, that immediately draws consciousness to it. And then we take this vow now. We need to make this change. So at any point of your sin and in your cycle of sinning, and even if you've been doing something for years, when you realize that, you know what, I need to change. And sometimes it does happen as we age, because obviously our mortality then becomes more realistic. And we take this time more to contemplate and reflect on what we've been doing and how to change the way we're doing it. And then the mistake turns out of ignorance into something of a change. And this admission of guilt, when we don't make excuses for it, then becomes the first and the most pinnacle point of us recovering, realizing the result of the sin, and then seeking the forgiveness and the mercy of our Creator. And really speaking, if you think that Allah is going to be merciful for an arm, He will only be merciful for an arm. But if you believe in the infinite mercy of your Creator, and that this repentance will bring you some sort of appeasement and satisfaction, to say Allah is most merciful, I need to believe that, I need to have faith that my sin will be forgiven, I think that is the greatest moment of breaking that sin cycle.
Wow. You know, You mentioned at the very onset the word kindness, and that itself was just so much to think about, because so few of us ever think about, look, when we're trying to break a sin cycle, to actually bring in that concept of that kindness, and to you know, bring in that sense of the mercy, and realizing we are servants of the merciful Allah. Lots to think about. Now, when people are trying to make that shift and that change, the topic often comes back to the iman, to the belief level, and people say, I need to boost my iman, I need to lift my iman, I need to raise my iman levels. What would your advice be? What are some of the ways that we can boost our iman?
So back to that whole kindness. When we are kind to ourselves, and when we start to acknowledge that, you know, I have done wrong, but it's okay. We are human nature. Remember, Allah is created from the very beginning, Adam, who made the error, who sinned, and he showed us then the mercy. And that's how the journey of humanity, humankind, had started. So that acknowledgement that we all are sinners at every given moment, there is something in our actions that we have to reflect upon, change, and do better. I think that's the first way to boost our iman, is to say, I believe that I am human and I will err. I will not be perfect, but I will try and be as strong in my faith as possible, right? So as Muslims, we believe that Allah weighs our good deeds against our bad deeds on the day of Qiyamah and the day of judgment. So we must also believe in Allah's forgiveness on that day. And we need to really acknowledge that as much as the sin exists, the mercy overshadows the wrath. Allah is waiting for an opportunity to forgive us. So life will have its ups and downs, and the sins will bring us down. And, you know, they are powerful enough sometimes to distract us, to lower our enthusiasm in our deen, to, distract us from where we should be. And there's a cliche, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. So if you have that at the back of your consciousness every day, that I will try and do better today, I will try and do good today, that's the very first step to boosting your iman, is because you are in a constant state of trying to please your creator, which is the ultimate goal here. The ultimate goal of life is we need to become in the group of people that Allah will be pleased with. And willpower is so important. If you wait for something to happen, it won't. But if you make things happen, then that's the start of it. So don't neglect the little things like the salahs and the sunnahs. Check in on that particular things of obligation. What is supposed to be, you know, the obligatory things of worship. And then start with the guidance of people who can actually support your spiritual journey and your growth. You know, now with social media, with the internet, we can go on at any given moment and motivate our spirituality, you know, give ourselves that upliftment. Alhamdulillah, I read something the other day which said that fasting is unlike any other form of worship. It gives us a special feeling of purity to the soul. And this is the best, if any, iman booster. And I think we should really acknowledge these little things that are given to us as, you know, seeds of growth, as attaining the pleasure of Allah, and use those to boost our iman. And we are the only people that can actually do it for ourselves. I don't think we can rely on sermons, lectures, mulanas, muftis, as much as we can rely on our own ability to take control of how we behave and how we act.
Whoa, that is powerful. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Taking action, and you brought up the word consciousness over and over again, how important it is for us to take that responsibility for our lives, for our actions, and for our choices going forward. And part of that going forward is making our effort. And then what about people around us, the company, family, friends? For many people, as we get closer now to that holiday time, socializing, people may have made changes since the pandemic, since Ramadan. Something may have happened in their lives and they're like, I want to make this change in my life. And now it's the holiday time, we may be socializing more towards the end of the year. Bring us into that. What about the company we keep and that link between breaking that sin cycle?
So, you know, I'm very much an advocate in my coaching for accountability. That's something that I teach everybody, whether it's the youth development programs that I have or the adult-based coaching. And I say to them, you are the person that is in control of your action. So, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people, sure, that will definitely motivate your growth and your journey and your state of mind and your state of being. But you are ultimately the person that is in charge. So every Muslim here is a recipient and a guardian and even the executor of their own responsibilities towards their deen. And as Muslims, you know, we are all encompassing because we've been given this iman as a responsibility. So as part of this duty, we need to act in a defense of what is right and what is wrong. We need to know our own moral compass. And when we know ourselves and we know our boundaries and our limitations, I think company then just sort of becomes an attraction. It becomes people that you're choosing to spend time with and not really, you know, the people that we can then pass the blame on to say, look, I was in bad company. So the Prophet ﷺ had said it very nicely here, that if someone amongst you sees wrong, he must write it by the hand. And if he cannot do that, he must say it by the tongue. And if he then cannot do that, he must look at it upon a gaze. And then if he cannot do that, he must by his heart, which simply means that we are all aware of our rights, our wrongs in terms of what we believe, right? And if we see others doing in the form of company, we have that responsibility morally to guide the next person. And there's many ways, as the Prophet ﷺ has said it, if not through a text message or a letter nowadays, you know, we can say to the person if we're close enough for them not to get offended. If it's us, we need to receive that type of information for someone who's trying to guide us in terms of deen. We need to simply ask ourselves one question, Sister Rehana, is if we look at the company we keep, do these individuals tell us when we are right or guide our poor decisions? And that's so important, because if we are surrounded by people who are afraid to support us in our good decisions but guide us in our bad decisions, really, what type of company are you keeping? How is that, you know, boosting your life's journey? How is it creating more of a support structure for you? We need to have that test of true friendship where someone is actually growing you, not only spiritually, but holistically. Why are people existing in your friend circle, in your close circle of, you know, individuals that form your support structure? Ask the question why they are there. Do they have a purpose in your journey and your growth? Because the company you keep is directly impacting and influencing your choices, your behaviors, and your personal growth. So I think that would be the starting point for me.
Fantastic, fantastic. When we talk about someone who's gone through a process, they've worked on boosting their iman, they're going back to the basics, applying the fard, they're checking in on the purpose of those friendship circles, and they're putting all, as much as they can do, all the stops in place so that they can stay away from, say, a specific sin. But they find that they keep end up returning to it. Take us through a process of now, person is in the state and they realize, oh gosh, I keep on returning back to the sin. And the next step is either I elevate, I move forward as a servant of Allah for forgiveness, or I get stuck in the space of despair and despondency. Take us through what happens next. You reach a point where you realize, I'm now in the sin cycle, I've tried my best, but I'm returning back to it. How can I now seek forgiveness? What do I do next so I don't become despondent?
You know, a lot of what we do in life is often on autopilot. So we perform as robots. We were conditioned a certain way during our upbringing. We were traditionalized in a certain way of thinking. So a lot of our information and our knowledge is inherited, and that could form part of our ignorance. So there's a very clear distinction made in the Quran between major and minor sins. And that, if we completely understand that our religion is wonderful, because all sins are not treated the same way, and that sinning does not automatically cause a person to be ousted from the faith of Islam. So when we come to that point of the recognition of the types of sins that we are doing and why we're doing it, again, answering the question of why is so important, because there's certain triggers that are making us sin. Maybe it's in our environment, maybe it's in certain people. Understanding the type of sin that we're doing, whether it can be classified as, you know, a day-to-day action, or is it a major sin? Like, I'll give you a very practical example here. Is I'm a marriage counselor, and when people perform adultery, and I am called into mediator situation like that, we come down to a situation of communication in the marriage, something lacking, a void. And I'm not saying that's an excuse, of course, for the action of adultery. But sometimes we need to break our sin down to a point where we can recognize what caused the sin, what led to the sin. And you will often be surprised at what is the reasoning behind it. And sometimes there is no reason. I do understand that. It's just a behavioral outlet. But I think understanding ourselves as human beings is also vital in acknowledging why we do what we do. So until our very last breath is what I'm saying, we are given the opportunity to seek Allah's forgiveness. And because we don't know when that last breath will be, we are given every single day as a gift to ask and seek for forgiveness. So yes, you are returning to the sin. You are returning to the sin. But every single day, repent. And of course, I'm not saying do it as, you know, artificially, but sincerely, if you need to repent, and if you are saying, oh Allah, I'm trying my best, that sort of divine intervention will come into your life when Allah will assist you and aid you in the best possible way. So this process then of seeking this forgiveness, number one, let's recognize, as I said earlier, that sin. Number two, let's feel the remorse. Are we really feeling the guilt in our consciousness, in our recognition of, you know, we are doing wrong? And the third is making this promise, not to ourselves, but to our Creator, which is far above ourselves, that I'm trying my best not to repeat this sin. That's all part of the process of forgiveness, right? The fourth would be making an intention to change. That is vital. How are you planning to change? That intention starts there, but then how? What's steps are you going to take to try and change? And then the fifth one, which we are given five times a day as the direct, you know, the curtain is lifted, the direct veil is lifted between you and your Creator to beg and ask for forgiveness through your istighfar, through your dua and salah. And I think for us, when we are trying to break that sin cycle, we need to remember that we are in control of the sin. As much as we feel the sin is in control of us, you need to take back the power. You need to be stronger than your strongest excuse, as they say. And I think that's acknowledging that you can do it.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Sister Shai, two more things. The first that would like to ask you is, And we're reminding listeners to please play back on the podcast, sit down, make notes, take your gems from this, discover and figure out how exactly you're going to focus on breaking your sin cycle. What would your general advice be to our listeners? So there's a wide range we have. We have mums and we have working individuals, young and old. What advice would you give from your heart today?
You know, as a sinner myself, I keep reading the one phrase that brings me back into consciousness. And it's something that I have actually on a little magnet. And it says, don't ever look at the smallness of the sin you are committing. So don't ever look at the smallness of the sin you are committing, but rather the magnitude of the one you are sinning against. So you are performing the sin. Yes, you are acknowledging that you're performing the sin. But don't say, oh, you know, it's nothing, you know, small or big. Or don't classify it into a category where you can discard it as being a sin. But rather look at who it's hurting. It's hurting your iman, but it's also displeasing your Creator. And at the end of the day, the only purpose we do have, irrespective of being a life coach and helping and serving in philanthropy, the only purpose that we do have is the seeking the pleasure of our Creator, because this is not the end all and be all. Our Akhirah is waiting. We need to plan ahead.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Sister Shaista, you mentioned about your youth programs, your adult coaching, and you mentioned your marriage counseling. Can you take us through a bit about, you know, what you're able to offer to our listeners, or how can they be in touch with you? Tell us more about that. Tell us more about your line of work. Tell us how our listeners can benefit from your services, and where can they find you online to connect for sessions or workshops or programs that you are offering, please?
So, alhamdulillah, I've reinvented myself during the COVID, and I'm now on a virtual platform which allows me to do interprovincial as well as international, coaching. So not only do I do self-development for individuals, I do children's coaching from the age of 4 up to university level because of my 15 years of educational experience and qualifications. My coaching then extends to workshops where I have different types of workshops, whether it's corporate or, again, developmental and emotional intelligence. So things like communication. And that's where also the marriage work, counseling comes in. I often do go to people on a one-on-one personal capacity because of privacy issues. And I mediate between couples and help them mend and build, because ultimately we're trying to save relationships. We're trying to build human beings who are confident enough to communicate well in their lives and going forward in their journeys, in their education of understanding themselves. And I think that's what coaching is for me. It's helping a person understand their true potential of living, you know, with their God-given abilities and talents and using them the correct way. And then when it comes to, me being accessible to them, I'm on all social media platforms by my first name, Shaista Token. My business name is called Silver Lining, which was founded specifically for my purpose of building my Akhirah. I do a lot of philanthropy work. And if people can't afford the coaching, I accommodate them too. And I think that's important for me. And why I say it's my Akhirah work is because no one should be denied help. No one should be denied advice or assistance. So I'm a text message away. My cell number is 072-565-1265. And I am here and I'm available to assist any of our community members at large with any help that they may need. And if I am unable to, because I may not have all the answers, I acknowledge that. But I'll also refer you to people that can assist you, inshallah. And that's why radio is so important, because it gives us a platform to also help and reach people and listeners in the various topics that, you as hosts have, which are so dynamic, because it teaches us things as well as facilitators and as, educationalists.
Absolutely. Beautiful, fantastic. Listeners, there is every opportunity to connect with Sister Shaista, to benefit from her programs, her one-on-one projects, to find out how you and your communities can benefit from her in person or online. If you have missed any of the details, you can contact our ladies' desk, our ladies' reception area. You can ask to be put through to our producer, Sister Mumtaz. We'll provide you with all the details for our guest today. Our guest today, Sister Shaista. And you can ask that you require those details, and Sister Mumtaz will share all of those details with you, inshallah, as you require them. May Allah bless you. May Allah increase you in goodness. May Allah use you for His service of the Ummah and for humanity. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you to grow from strength to strength. Such beautiful programs and just fascinating, from as young as 4 years old, and probably another topic we'd love to work with you on, explore that with you, and how we can break the stigma so that our young ones who need that support can get it at a younger age rather than struggling. Beautiful work, ladies. You can get in touch with our producer if you need any of the details for our guest, Sister Shaista, today. Sister Shaista, jazakumullah khair for your time, for taking a topic that is that we often hide away from or that we often don't talk about openly, and really breaking it down for us, simplifying it, getting us to feel that sense of hope, giving us that understanding and that reality check that we are responsible and we need to work on ourselves. And yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure learning. It's been an absolute pleasure drawing on these gems with you today. Jazakumullah khairan.
Ameen. May Allah accept from both of us. Jazakallah for having me, and I'm looking forward to our future interactions.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We've been speaking to Sister Shaista Ismail Tolkien. Sister Shaista is an author, radio host, NLP transformative life coach, and an educator. For details on how you can benefit from her one-on-one or group programs online or in person, you can contact our producer for all those details. Our topic today, Breaking the Sin Cycle, and the program will be up on podcast. You can always play back, make notes, and share those gems online with the hashtag Living the Legacy so that others can benefit from it too. We're going to go for our ad break, and when we return after the ad break, we continue with our focus on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stay with us. A warm welcome back to the second segment of this week's edition of Revival in Motion. On the program today, earlier before the break, in our first segment, we heard from our guest, Sister Shaista. And Sister Shaista took us through the topic of breaking the sin cycle. You can always play back to the Port podcast to learn more on that topic, inshallah. And lots of things to reflect over, lots of inspiration and motivation to break away from our sin cycle, to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to really focus on building our akhirah, alhamdulillah. Our focus now takes us to the topic of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and today, to love as he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved. It is a wonder how one softens the heart in a world that is full of hatred and cruelty. When divisiveness is the norm rather than the exception, it becomes necessary to reflect on our interactions and to adopt a way of life that builds bridges and instills love. For Muslims, there is no better peacemaker than looking at that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who called the likes of Umar bin al-Khattab and Ikramah ibn Abi Jahl, who were initially the staunch enemies of Islam, and called them towards devoting their lives to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's smile that made people embrace Islam purely because of the love he emanated. In a world that is torn apart by hate, we will now reflect on what it means to love as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved. The best of all creation, the paragon of virtue, the most beloved of Allah, our master and guide, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's talk about how he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made others feel loved. No praise would suffice in extolling the virtues and the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And upon reading the seerah, we cannot help but be in utter awe of his noble character and filled with deep reverence for him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, "I was sent to perfect good character." During these times, when we are burdened with confusion and uncertainty underpins every action, we can find solace by looking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's example for guidance on navigating our dunya and striving to incorporate the goodness that he emanated into our lives. Gentle and firm, compassionate and resolute, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with what can best be described as exemplary emotional intelligence, demonstrated the most fitting traits as per his unique situation. One remarkable quality that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed was his ability to make each person he conversed with feel valued and honored, especially those who were from the most vulnerable populations of the ummah. Whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed someone, he would turn towards them and face them completely, giving them his full attention and time. Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit his home often. On one of his visits, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed that Anas' younger brother, Abu Umair, was grief-stricken. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked those around him, what had happened that had made Abu Umair feel emotional distress? And he was told that Abu Umair's pet bird, his sparrow, had died. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gently approached Abu Umair and he asked him in a tender and consoling manner, oh Abu Umair, what did the Nughair, the sparrow, do? In this beautiful narration, we see his mercy towards young children. Despite being the leader of the ummah, with a mountain of responsibility and worries resting on his shoulders, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not dismiss this little sahabi's concerns as insignificant. He approached him with sincerity, with attentiveness, and his empathy was beautifully displayed throughout his dedication, taking the time to ask about the little boy's sparrow and addressing him directly. Such was the humility and the compassion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who was sent as a mercy to the world. In another heartwarming incident, a woman came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a need to ask of him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, sit on any street of Medina you wish and I will come and sit with you. Once again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's incredible humility and consideration for those who were often disregarded by the rest of society was clearly evident. He permitted the woman to find a spot of her choosing. He ensured her comfort and he sat with her until her needs were met. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a beacon of hope and a source of healing for everyone he interacted with. How often do we find ourselves preoccupied with our own lives? How often do we feel inconvenienced when someone who is neither family nor friend and perhaps of little benefit to us cross our path and request our time and energy? And when we do speak to such a person, do we actually give them full attention? Do we actively listen to their concerns? Do we demonstrate empathy? In an era of hyper-individualism, where we are often occupied with our own commitments and confine ourselves to our own needs and desires, we fall into the trap of overlooking the most vulnerable and downtrodden living among us, leaving them to fend for themselves. As we break down the pillars of community and destroy the villages that it takes to raise a child, we become burdened and isolated, engulfed by an epidemic of loneliness, despite not always being lonely. How many people we meet and they are surrounded by loved ones, they live with others, they're not alone physically, but what do they say? They say, I feel lonely, I am alone. So to address this crisis, you and I, we must return back to the blessed Sunnah way. We must return back to the prophetic way. We must attempt to adopt compassion and empathy and humility that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself exemplified. We must turn our attention to those that are suffering, those who are weeping in silence, those who are in need of a kind word and gentle touch, and make them feel cherished and loved. So my question to you today is, what are you going to do to make others feel cherished, loved, seen, heard, validated, and understood? What are you going to do today to be that change and to make that change and to embrace the prophetic way of life, one that was full of compassion, tolerance, respect, understanding, and compassion to fellow human beings, and especially to those who are vulnerable and downtrodden in our communities? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. And as we prepare to round up for this week's edition of the program, our inspiration comes to us in a form of a reminder on marriage, the T's of a successful marriage. And again, if you'd like a copy of this post, please feel free to email us, hana@radioislamlive.com, or send a WhatsApp or Telegram message to +60 13 260 8592. And in the subject line or in the text message, please write that you are requesting the note on a successful marriage. The topic is the T's of a successful marriage. T is for taqwa, the foundation of a successful marriage. Fearing Allah allows both parties to live in harmony. T is for trust. Don't allow any room for your spouse to doubt you and give them some personal space. T is for tongue. Control your tongue when speaking to your spouse. Don't speak rudely. T is for talk. Communicate with your spouse regularly. Let them know your feelings. T is for time. Make time to spend with your spouse and realize that your lifetime table has to change once you're married. T is for tea. Make sure you eat and drink together at the same time, as this creates love between two people. T is for tolerance. Nobody is perfect, but look at the good qualities in your spouse and tolerate the bad with patience. T is for technology. Technology can make or break a relationship. Don't allow it to become the third person in the relationship. T is also for troublemakers. Don't allow the rumors and comments of others to spoil the harmony between you and your spouse. T is for temper. This is one of the biggest reasons behind marriages breaking. Control your anger with your spouse. And finally, T is for tahajjud. Wake up in the night for tahajjud and even pray together and encourage each other to do good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who ask Allah for his help and look towards the sunnah as an example of living in harmonious relationships and marriages. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. All those who are seeking to get married, may Allah grant them a good spouse, righteous spouse. And those who are married, may Allah keep them happy. Those who are having difficulties or problems, may Allah grant ease in their problems. Those who have lost a spouse, may Allah make it easy for them in that season of their lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us as family units, as communities, as society, and as an ummah for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This program is up on podcast. You can play back to hear our interview earlier today. Make down notes and begin your journey of how you're going to break your sin cycle. That brings us to the close of this week's edition. And again, if you'd like a copy of this last post that we shared about the T's of a successful marriage, please feel free to drop us an email, hana@radioislamlive.com, or send us a telegram or WhatsApp to +6013-260-8592. Whether you're sending the email or text message, please state the request for which post you would like. So if it's for the one we did today, which is on the T's of a successful marriage, simply state post on marriage so that we know which archive, which folder to access and share that with you. It will be my pleasure. That brings us to the close of this week's edition of the program. Jazakumullah khairan for listening in. May Allah grant us barakah in our time and in our health. Another Jumu'ah and almost here, and another week drawing closer to the next Ramadan. May Allah grant us the ability to work towards our akhirah every day. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.